Instead of the game being over, it appears that the Redskins get the fifth down.
And the cat is elusive. He's walking. He's walking to the three. He's at the two. Fielding the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
Snap. Placement. Kick by Hartley. And it is. It is good. It's good. It's good. Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Fifth Down. I'm the captain.
I'm Tootsie.
All right, Dave. Guys. Week 7's in the books. A lot of games took place. Nothing really super duper exciting.
Guys played some football and they scored some points and some people won some games and some people lost some games. And, just another week of football.
Yeah, let's pull an old John Madden and let's just call that a wrap on that.
That's my absolutely worst John Madden. Remember, guys, bad impressions. That's why you're here.
Yeah, I mean, guys wear contacts so they can see better. I mean, let's just do some great Maddenisms right now, right?
And you got the mama bucket and the daddy bucket, and they had a baby bucket.
Yeah, I mean, they used stick them for gloves like that, and now they got the gloves. All remember the crappy quotes from Madden himself and from the Madden football game. But yes, rest in peace, John Madden. We did a show to him last year, but still, still got to give some props to him. He's missed. If you pay attention to football commentary right now, he was one of the greatest to ever do it. There's not a lot out there that can come close to him right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why we just did a tribute to Madden, but whatever. Why not, right?
Why not? All
right. So we had some trades go down this week. We're coming to the trade deadline. Oh, I think it's November 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Coming down to the end of it. Trades started popping off this week after we signed off last week. Christian McCaffrey was traded from the Panthers to the Broncos.
The
49ers. My bad.
Killing me, Smalls. You're killing me.
Where he actually took part in the game. He was traded on Friday or Thursday.
And played Sunday.
He played Sunday.
Got like 40 yards or something.
Yeah. He is going to be a force to be reckoned with an actual team that can back him up. So, it's good for him, but maybe bad for the NFC.
Well, look, he had 8 carries for 38 yards, and he caught 2 balls for an additional 24. So, I mean, the guy came in, and he puts up more yards than he's probably put up, in most games for the Panthers this year. So, with Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk, is Jimmy Garoppolo the next greatest thing? No, but that team all of a sudden
they should win.
A lot more dynamic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
McCaffrey is every bit the athlete that any of these other guys are, right?
Yeah.
And you are going to have a very explosive backfield there. Because, come on. Deebo is amazing. And McCaffrey is in that same,
Well, he's from anywhere. He's above Deebo.
He's a true dual threat running back.
Yeah, when he stays
healthy, that's
the key with him is his health. But he's looking like he might make it this year.
I mean, him and Saquon both look fantastic. They look
behind a better offensive line is what he has now in San Francisco. Better coaching staff, better quarterback. Just better team, better defense, better team all around. He should excel in this. And I think it was a great trade for him. Panthers got a boatload of numbers back for him, draft picks and whatnot. They're definitely in the rebuilding year. So, they're set up for that. So, good for them. Then we had Robert Quinn. That happened today. Robert Quinn from the Bears to the Eagles. So, Eagles are putting the NFC on notice that they're all in. they're going to do what they can. I'm wondering if that pick from us had anything to do with that. Maybe that entered that trade somewhere along the line. I don't know the details of the trade. I doubt it was a first-round pick involved, but that also has them the ability to make more, is because they have more draft picks from us, from the Saints, that we gave them last season. So.
Yep, and I think that the Chicago's kind of, you know, going into sell mode. It is what it is.
Yeah, you may see them a lot more move.
I can't blame them at this point. You know, we still may see the coaching staff there change.
Rookie coach Mike Eberflus.
Yeah.
I think you get another year out of him. I don't think it's as bad.
I think so too, because they knew what was going to happen this season, I think, going into it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was the Raiders four going in. So
the Raiders did make a trade as well of Hankins, their defensive tackle, to the Cowboys. Say that five times fast. Raiders get a sixth-round pick. The Cowboy. And then, of course, the other big trade this week, and I say big in the sense of so far there's nothing. Let's just go through them all. Okay, stand by.
Well, I mean, you had James Robinson, you know.
James Robinson to the Jets from the – he's hurt at this point, which is –
But it's still a move because they lost Breece Hall for the year. Kid was having a great – Rookie
amazing rookie year.
So,
amazing rookie year. It was so sad to see it go him down.
So, yeah.
And then you've got Michael Carter there, but they also need a little more help to back it up. So, I mean, that immediately vaults ATN to the top of the ticket in Jacksonville, which, you know, he's probably earned that this year for sure. But it does leave them a little depleted. You know, it's nice to have James Robinson in your back pocket. The guy is 1,000-yard rusher the last two seasons. That he was healthy, at least. So, I mean, he's a guy you don't want to give up easily. Let's see. Panthers also got rid of Robbie Anderson to the Cardinals. Another team that's just – they're selling. So
That's a lateral move for Robbie Anderson. He went from a crap quarterback in Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, who we were high on headed into the season, but he's proved us wrong so far this year, to another mediocre quarterback in Kyler Murray, who's just not doing it. You know,
and look,
I mean,
what can you do, right?
He's just not the guy. Like, I mean, they paid him a lot of money to be the guy, and maybe this is why they didn't want to pay him the money. You know, maybe this is why they wanted a Call of Duty clause in his contract, so he wouldn't be playing Call of Duty right now, and he would be paying attention to what's actually happening in the NFL in the thing. You know, so it's kind of like it's just a lot going on. You know, I hope it works out for a few more guys, but. It's just an even trade for Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, and they get a sixth and a seventh round pick for it. So that's pretty good for Robbie. This is actually a pretty good one. Deion Jones from the Falcons to the Browns. I think we're probably going to see a little more fire sale on the Falcons pieces soon. We've got
I don't know, five, dude. Falcons are at the top of the freaking league, top of the NFC South right now. So, I mean, why would they fire sale? Why would they trade up? They're a playoff team at this moment.
They are a playoff team at this moment. So why not sell high? I would sell high right now.
I mean, you get hot at the right time. I mean, the NFL is a league of parity. It's a league of what have you done for me lately? It's a league of any given Sunday, right? So who's to say? I mean, we saw the Giants do it years ago. Make a run coming out of the wild card into win the Super Bowl. Why can't it be the Falcons? Why, you know, maybe they get hot at the right time. Maybe they finally put something together and do it. If I'm the Falcons front office at this moment, I'm actually trying to get players and not get rid of stuff.
Yeah. Still, that's what happens. Patriots trade offensive tackle Justin Heron, their seventh-round pick, for a sixth-round pick next year. Nothing too crazy there. And then, of course, the Robert Quinn to the Eagles was the latest and greatest.
Looked like it was a fourth-round pick.
I mean, the Eagles are doing what the Rams did last year. They're saying, screw it. Let's go all in. Let's win a Super Bowl. And they're looking like a team that will.
But I mean, all in to me is not a fourth-round pick. Like, it has to be more involved in that trade. It's not just Robert Quinn for a fourth-round swap.
That's fine. That's great. That's great. Robert Quinn's 31, I think. You guys got gas left in the tank to get you to a championship. So, why not? Why not?
I'm not saying the Eagles are stupid at this point. I'm saying the Bears are stupid for only taking a fourth-round pick.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes.
That's where I'm at. I'm sorry. I mean, maybe I was misunderstood, but I don't believe that was a fair trade. I feel like that should have been denied by the owners or something. vetoed out the fantasy league or something.
Look, I cannot confirm or deny how good that is, but I can tell you that it's just, you know, of all the trades, it's the McCaffrey, the Quinn. Those are kind of the big ones to me. I mean, this is just a great move. The Eagles are – I
don't think it's done. I don't think trades are done. I think you have teams like the Saints who don't have a lot of draft picks next year.
Brandon Cooks is out there, you know.
The Saints – I'm sorry, and I'm getting here, and I said this on the Facebook page earlier this week. Earlier, that after that debacle on Thursday night when the Saints dropped to the Cardinals with two pick sixes, and that was basically your difference in the game. Do the Saints do the same as the Panthers? Do we fire sale? Do we try to, you know, find some draft picks out of the guys we have and see what we can do? Because you have high dollar contracts that are just not paying out right now. You know, I mean, Michael Thomas eventually might be healthy. Maybe he'll be more healthy for another team. You know, maybe you ship him out. He's not doing anything for us on the bench. You know, Alvin Kamara might be a guy that we could, you know, trade off to get something for while he still has something left in the tank, right? Running back lifespan in the NFL is very short. His is probably coming close to an end if you want to talk about it that way. So why not get something for him now instead of having to pay him that next deal? Who else was another guy I was thinking of? Marshawn Lattimore is another high-profile guy that we might be able to move to bring in draft picks. I mean, I'm looking at this team. This is not a team that's winning. This is not a team that probably – the way they're playing is not a team that can win. They're doing everything they can to lose, and that's – not what a team does. A team, you know, teams find ways to win, and we find ways to lose. So,
well, look, Kamara is averaging. Let me see if I can.
And we're not going to get high. We're not going to get high draft picks for him either. That's the thing.
No, but like, I think you're talking about
big name guys that we wouldn't get a lot for, but they're the biggest names that we can trade away to get something for.
He's only going to hit 1,000 carries this season. Okay, he's still not even there yet. Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about 2,000 carries, that's
but when you look at Kamara's career, he's had leg injuries, you know, ankle injuries, and he's had something that kept him out of games almost every season because of he's getting banged up, and it's the way he plays the game. I mean, if you look at him, the way he takes the hits and he bounces off of him and does a thing, it's the way he plays the game. It is why he suffers these injuries, but. How much longer does he have left? Because like I said, running back lifespans in the NFL are short. You know, 5 years at the max is, you know, maybe 7, you know, if you're lucky. So, I mean, if my math is right and I've looked at it enough, that might be the average lifespan on an NFL running back. You know,
I'm just saying, I want to say, coming to the end of that. I think it's somewhere like 2.5 years, like roughly.
Yeah, so it might even be lower. But I mean, you know, just injuries, and that's something we want to talk about later. You know, injuries in the NFL this year has been freaking just astronomical across my fantasy football team. It's a who's who of IR. You know, I mean, it's just every week that I lose another high profile player to something, and it's not just the little guys; it's big names that are happening. You know, you said it happened to Breece Hall. You know, you saw he lost it. DK Metcalf went down with a knee ligament injury this week, and that led to Pete Carroll talking about the difference between playing on grass or turf. You know, saying which one's better. You know, should we be playing on grass? Should we be playing on turf? And you know, my opinion is, looking at where these injuries end up happening, it's more on fields that are made out of turf. So it seems like something's happening with the cleats, and they're not giving, and they're not doing whatever. They're holding too tight, and these guys are tearing knees and ankles and all these things like that. So maybe the league needs to find ways to ban these artificial type fields and have ways to put grass in domes and, you know, stadiums in Arizona that can't grow grass, you know, or Vegas that is in the middle of a desert. You know, and that's one of the biggest issues. You have teams who have stadiums that are incapable of growing their own fields, or the inability to. So you have these artificial, you know, fields, and a lot of injuries take place there.
Yeah. So I looked at this just right before we got on the air, and in 2020, the NFLPA started calling for this. According to their analysis from the NFL Players Association, there's a 28% higher rate of non-contact lower extremity injuries when playing on artificial turf as compared to grass. Okay, so
these
again,
guys getting hurt, not even involved in a play.
Well, this is just coming down on. When you're catching, you know, when you're reaching out to catch that ball, you're coming down on your legs, your knees, whatever. And what happened on Sunday was both DK Metcalf and Chargers cornerback JC Jackson went down on non-contact plays. And then Jackson's done for the season with a, I think it was a patella tendon.
I think I heard dislocated kneecap. So yeah, that would be your patella. All that area. I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, so that would.
But
be
was
that
it
area.
Last night? I mean, because apparently
it was a few weeks
only
ago.
Works if it's night, obviously, but no, I think that's a good argument to have. I personally, you know, I mean, dude, we're from Thibodaux. We played in the grass, you know, all the fields in college are grass, all the fields, you know, you play on as a kid, it's grass.
Well, I mean, some of the fields in college are starting to become that artificial turf because you're having donors come back and donate fields. I mean, right here, you know, where I live now in Destrehan, they have an artificial turf field, you know, donated by Ed Reed. At Nichols, they have an artificial turf field donated by the Mannings. You know, so it's starting to make its way into, you know, college and high school because, like I said, donors are coming back to those schools and they're donating to these other places.
I don't know. I just the thickness of the grass, the real grass, the bounciness, the give. You know, turf is getting better, of course, but I still think there's that aspect of a natural field that gives you a little bit more cushion when you go down on it. And
well, I mean, should the NFL be doing some research on proper footwear? Should we be looking at better shoes, better cleats, and whatnot for them?
That's not going to do any good when you reach out for a thing and you bang your knee on the floor on the ground.
Yeah, but a lot of it comes down from, and what you see is a lot of ACLs and a lot of, you know, ankle turns and twists and all these things like that, and that comes a lot from the cleat not giving from the grass. It's holding on too much to the turf. So, like I said, we go every season. Oh, we got to protect the player. Let's make improvements on the helmet. You know, maybe we should look at other places. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get CTE from a bad ankle, but you may extend somebody's career by another season or two if they're not blowing their knees out because of the turf, you know, and the shoes grabbing onto it. So maybe some research needs to be done there. You know, maybe the NFL needs to start thinking lower than the head and start working on the feet. And it might be able to save some people's careers for a couple more years. You know, it's just us talking. It doesn't, I mean, it's not going to make a difference on what it is, but, you know, those injuries happen every week in and week out. And like I said, and this is in our personal league that we have with the fifth down members, you know, I'm in third to last place, you know, because I've suffered so many different injuries every week. I'm scrambling to find a running back or a receiver, you know, to put in that spot because I lost one to injury the week before. So, you know, just maybe the NFL needs to do a little research. Look at the feet. Doesn't always have to be the head, you know. Maybe we could do something with the knees and the ankles and figure something out from there. But we just wanted to touch on that because, I mean, it does make a difference in the game. You know, it discourages a home field, you know, a home crowd from looking at it. You know, Jets are hot right now. What, 6-1, right? And they just lost the best running back they've had probably since Curtis Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have to be honest. They lost him for the season because of a knee injury. You know, it disheartens the fan base, you know, and whatnot.
It's the trade for James Robinson, which, you know. Now, look, Michael Carter, he's pretty good running back. He's going to carry that team, I think, well enough. But Breece Hall was looking to be something special, man. Like, that guy to be the one to just take it to the next level. And look, Robert Saleh, what he's done with that organization – in 2 years has just been awesome.
Yeah, I think we talked about it. I know I really like Robert Saleh in this position. Last year was his rookie year as coach. You know, you see what you see from a rookie coach. But, you know, like I said, I thought he was a good hire. Very great, very good defensive mind, and that it's a lot where they're winning the game there. And he brought in the right people to help him out on the offensive side. And, you know, you can see it happening this year with finally winning some games and putting some things together. So, yes. Yeah.
And that. I mean, look, they're the big surprise, right? Is the Jets are probably the biggest surprise. Okay. Other
Giants.
Surprises. I think the Jets are the biggest surprise to me. Daboll, you know, he's from a very successful program.
Yeah, but I didn't have him turning around that team that fast.
I didn't either, but I knew it was probably going to happen sooner or later.
I mean, he found a way to make Daniel Jones good. And we did say during the offseason, one of the offseason shows, that if anybody can save Daniel Jones' career, it's Brian Daboll.
Because
he's doing that.
Yeah. I mean, look what he's done for other, you know, guys. So,
Josh Allen.
Yeah. I mean, and Daniel Jones is not a small quarterback either, right? He's another big guy.
I mean, he's – I'm not going to say Josh Allen 2.0 because that would mean he's better, but he's like a beta version of Josh Allen, right? He's being tried out.
Not beta male, but like a beta test.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying, like, he's Josh Allen before you fix the bugs.
Right.
And put him out there. They're that same style. They like to run when it comes down to it. And, you know, Daniel Jones has proven he can throw the ball. So, you know, just like we saw from Josh Allen. So, like we said it earlier, if anybody can fix Daniel Jones, it's Brian Daboll, and he's making that happen now.
Yeah, and I mean, look, between New York, Dallas, Philly, you know, we got so many surprises in the NFC. Beast, that was the least, is now the beast.
And the South is the least.
And the Vikings are in command of the North. I mean, I didn't see that coming.
I had that pick.
Green Bay is looking like hot garbage. Their offense is stagnant and terrible. And there might actually be one of the only offenses that was worse than ours now.
Honestly, it kind of sucks, man, because, you know, I'm going to talk about the Saints for a minute. But, you know, with Andy Dalton being in control of the Saints, their quarterback, the offense of the Saints has actually been one of the top offenses in the league since Andy Dalton took place. The problem is like we've said before, we're finding ways to lose the game. You know, the three interceptions in the first half against the Cardinals, the not making one first down against the Bengals to close out the game. In a game they never, same thing with the Bengals game. They never was losing that game until the last minute and 57 seconds. You know, it's like we just find ways to lose, and that's either bad coaching or bad luck, if you want to say. I don't know. Do we know that? I don't know that. I'm just going to be honest, Thane. If you know the answer, go ahead and type it up, because I don't know. Oh, the Raiders? Well, I mean, after this week, we're about to propel them to number one.
Yeah.
I'm sure we have several.
I mean, the Raiders have been looking freaking good. And I mean, look, that's another team that's losing games by very small amounts so far this year.
I haven't paid enough attention to them to say.
They lost by five to the Chargers. They lost by six to the Cardinals. They lost by two to the Titans. And then they lost by one to the Chiefs when they should have tied the damn game.
Yeah, that was that game.
That was game. Coaching. So
I'll give that coaching.
That is on coaching 110%.
Now let's look at the Saints. No, let's not. I don't.
Let's like no, no. We blew. We were trying to match field goal. We were trying to match touchdowns with field goals.
Against the Bengals,
three turnovers. Nothing. Look, nothing against the Cardinals. Play good defense. A couple of batted balls that ended up in interceptions. You know, and I think that's about half of the interceptions this year have just been really good defensive plays, getting to the line of scrimmage, getting hands on the ball, and then just tip drills. I feel like there's at least one of those every game.
Whatever it is, whatever reason it is, the ball's not bouncing our way. You know, we're giving up three turnovers to one, a fumble. You know, we're giving up. We've had one interception this entire year. Like, come on, Tyrann Mathieu, you're supposed to be the honey badger. Don't care, right? I mean, he doesn't care anymore.
He's got one interception.
You know, the only interception we have this year on our defense, and the defense was supposed to be the thing that propelled this team into the next level, and they're just
nine interceptions and six fumbles. That's not good.
Yeah, we're so that makes
that's
us,
not good. That's 15 turnovers.
Minus 14 for the
season.
Something
like that.
Yeah, that's not how you win. But, I mean, it's just not a good team. We're bad. We're going to see that again this week. We'll be in it all the way to the end to give up right at the last quarter and break some hearts.
We are dead last in the league at minus 10.
Okay. See, I thought I'd been worse than that. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. We did have a few fumble recoveries.
Yes.
But, yeah.
But we are minus 10 in the turnover differential. We are averaging minus 1.4 per game.
That's awesome. That's winning football.
Yes.
Coaching or personnel, both? Yes.
Yes.
That's the answer, yes.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's coaching for putting the personnel that we have out on the field and dealing with the personnel that we have. Like, somebody said the other day, what's the Commanders running back that got shot in the leg? He missed four games and he's back out on the field playing.
And he's like just going out like a beast right now.
And you have Michael, you got Michael Thomas who refuses to get back on the practice field. You know, and it's like, man, just imagine if Michael Thomas was shot in the leg. They had to amputate the damn thing. You know?
Yeah, Brian Robinson Jr., that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have anybody out there right now that's showing the heart to even be there. Like, even Kamara. Like, he's giving it his all, but you can even look at him in the face when he's on the sidelines. There's no more smiles. There's no more nothing. you know, he's just there to do his job, and he's doing the best he can with what he has. But, you know, if you're on the sideline and you're looking at Michael Thomas not doing his part, and Jarvis Landry not doing his part, and whoever else is out on a chipped toenail, or,
and I mean,
or
really, Chris Olave is becoming the guy, you know, and if Chris Olave becomes that guy, then Michael Thomas is all of a sudden tradable.
He's been tradable. I mean, ever since the start of the year. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if we would move on from him by the trade deadline. Because, I mean, what has he done for us this year? A few catches in the game against the Falcons?
I think you shop.
Pretty much been solid since then. I mean,
I think you shop.
I would put him out there and just see if somebody's willing to give you something for him. We have to recoup draft picks somewhere along the line. So I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen, because Olave has proved himself to be the guy.
And look, Brandon Cooks is out there in the trade market, right? Come back home, buddy.
I don't know if I want to go down that road again. I don't think so either, but there's bound to be somebody with an injured running back or something who's willing to pick up another injured running back. I mean, receiver who's willing to pick up another injured receiver. I mean, you see shit like this in the NFL all the time. Somebody pick up somebody that you never thought would move. So,
I mean, he could end up in Green Bay.
That might be the best thing for him. I mean, you know, maybe Rodgers will be that guy to get him out on the field. I mean, do they have another sixth?
Get is a...
I think we got their sixth when we gave him Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
I don't think there's another six. I don't think
they have
six.
That one anymore.
Excuse Podcat, everyone. She needs attention today, apparently.
All right. So let's go on to our picks for the week. Our little game that we play on the show. That is right. You read the numbers right. Tootsie's 18 and 10, and I'm 19 and 9. So just to cliff notes on that, he went 3-1, and I went 4-0 this week.
Massive. At least you refilled your Caesars Sportsbook pool.
What sucks is, dude, I did it right. I put more money in right before that one hit so I could bet on the Pels. And I hit that one, so I just should have just waited and used that money.
Whatever.
It is what it is.
I was down to my last $5 when I went 4-0 and got that parlay. So that was nice. Captain, give them your picks for this week.
All right, this week I got the Jets over the Pats. I actually picked the Seahawks over the Giants, Cowgirls over the Bears, and Ravens over the Bucks.
All right. And for me, I've got the Jags over the Broncos. San Francisco taking down the chance. I'm going to go ahead and add that McCaffrey gets over 100 yards in this game. Atlanta, of course, is going to be Carolina. Probably.
You say that. I mean, they just came off the win against Tampa, too.
And so, I'm going to go ahead and give the Commanders, the Washington Commanders, over the Indianapolis Colts. After the Colts bench Matt Ryan with a separated shoulder and not the best play.
Let's just call it a separated shoulder.
You know what? They said they would have benched him anyway. And look, Matt Ryan has been very professional this season, okay? He was very professional with how the things went down for the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. He was very professional when he got traded. He was very professional then. And look, he gave a pretty classy answer. You know, look, we gave him shit because he was Matty Melts, you know, for the longest time.
He's Matty Melted.
and he looks like he may be, you know, at that done stage. And you know, I think it's fair to ask, is Aaron Rodgers getting there?
Oh, I mean, I said that at the beginning of the year.
I just think
Rodgers' heart is not in it anymore.
There's no timing. There's no chemistry. I'm not feeling anything from him. His receivers can't get on the same page. You know, I think him and LaFleur are not
seeing eye to eye again.
It was a bad situation. When you assign him to that contract and then you train away
Davante Adams,
his top weapon, and do not replace
Yeah, but they've never replaced. Why would they replace now?
Well, that's been his beef the entire time he's there, and it is a fair criticism because they do not draft receivers for him. They, you know, he came in, he was lucky to have... Damn.
I don't know if you're just making a joke or you actually did the math, but that would be,
you know what, I would believe, I'm gonna believe this because I'm gonna report it, you know, fake news or not, who cares? It's a great joke either way.
Yeah. we can't confirm or deny the validity of that joke, but for those of you listening and not watching it, you know, he says that
it's true. He says it's true.
He was benched on the 28th week and third day of his time with Indy. You know, 28-3 strikes again. So, but all right. Love so where it. Were we? Ragging on Aaron Rodgers, my favorite pastime. Yeah, dude. I said it. I think it's the haircut. I mean, I said it last week. I think
it's like Samson. Yeah, I love it.
You know, I love it's that like. Day. Samson, they cut his hair and now he's just crap. You know, he looks like a penguin from, you know, one of those penguins with the frilly things out the side right now. I don't know what he was thinking with that haircut, but
well, it could be he had his relationship issues in the off season as well, right? Tom Brady's just spilling over right into the the field. Like
Aaron Rodgers has that every week. I mean, maybe he's too high on ayahuasca to know what he's doing. You know, that's why he can't get his timing down. Maybe he needs to get his receivers all jacked up on the stuff. And yeah, that's what we're talking about. You know, maybe the shaman's in the desert. You know, maybe he needs to bring his receivers with him on another ayahuasca trip, and then they can maybe get on the same page and maybe save their season. But as for the Bucks, Giselle destroyed Tom.
the score is the opposing man. It's like the Bucks 6, the opposing team Giselle. You know, like it's just it is whatever is going on in his personal life. I have never seen Tom Brady like this. It could just be that he's done. That could be it. But come on, man. The guy's going through a divorce with a woman he's been with for it feels like 20 years.
I mean, longer than, I mean, just about as long as he's played for the Patriots. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's one of those things.
And look, I don't blame her for wanting him home. But again, I don't blame him for saying, look, I can only do this one or two more years, right? I can't take a break and then come back to football at 48.
I mean, he should have just retired.
I mean, with Gronk not coming back, I kind of thought
time.
Maybe
it's time. You know, sorry.
I mean,
Tom.
They started off really well. I mean, it's just
did they? Did they though? I mean, they beat the Cowboys in week one. They beat the Saints in week two after some bullshit calls.
They're still on the top there. Of the NFC.
Did they beat the Falcons in week three? Yeah. So they went 3-0 at that point, and then it's just been
They beat the Falcons. They were 3-2, and then they lost the last two to the Steelers and the Panthers. The Panthers was just really hard because they traded McCaffrey. And then they go down 21-3. Yep. And then they still lose 21-3. So that one's a lot on the offense. So 3 points is pathetic.
Yeah. So
that team was.
You want to talk about not being in sync? You know, he had Mike Evans wide open for that touchdown, and he just lets it through. You know.
I mean, that was on Mike Evans. That was 100% on Mike Evans. And when that happened, I was just like.
I mean, momentum. You know, we talk about it being a thing all the time, momentum. It's one of
my
those.
My fantasy
things,
day just went like.
I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah.
That would have won me my game.
Screw our fantasy league. I hate you guys.
I'm getting my ass kicked.
It's like all of a sudden we have no clue what we're doing.
I am 1-6 in both my leagues. I have tanked my Yahoo fantasy score from mid-tier platinum down to silver in 7 weeks. I can't do any better than that, ladies and gentlemen. I suck at fantasy football. I want the shirt.
Buy two.
But I'm not quitting. But I'm not quitting.
Yeah, buy two. I wear a 2X. I think we need it. Yeah, exactly. But I think we need to change our little logo up in the top right hand corner to "We suck at fantasy football."
I'm fine with that.
Next few weeks, 81-1. Can we agree on the Pels?
You know what? Let's talk Pels and let's talk Tigers because I'm done with the NFL for this week. I don't care. The Pels looking great. They're off to a hot start.
I give them 50 something wins. I mean that's doable.
I think that's a fair. I mean, I see playoffs is.
Oh yeah, they're gonna finish top five in the West. They probably have one of the deepest benches you've seen in the NBA in a very long time. One of the strongest starting five this season so far. I have them at a 5, but 4 is definitely possible. Maybe even higher than that, depending on what everyone else does. And the best part of it is that, when everything's said and done, the Lakers are sucking so much ass this year that they might find themselves in a lottery. We can't 100% agree with that now, but it's a scenario people are talking about because the Pels have that pick swap with them this year. So they find themselves in a lottery. We swap that pick. We're there too, making the playoffs. So, you know, it's the same Lakers team as last year that fell apart and didn't do anything. So, you know, they didn't make a whole lot.
I mean,
lot
really,
of
the only thing that seems to be going right now for the Lakers is LeBron, you know, coming up on the all-time points record from Curry.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference when your team's not.
That makes no difference. I mean, it's great personal. It's a great personal career moment for LeBron. But what good does it do you when your team's starting 0-4? You know, it's just not a good start.
I love seeing it. You know, it's my favorite part of the NBA is watching the Lakers lose. So, and watching the Lakers lose and watching the Pels win. So, I mean, I'm excited about the season. I had high hopes coming in for the Pels this year, especially the way they finished last year. You know, making it through the play-in tournament, pushing the Suns to that Game 6. You know, without Zion, you know, you saw a lot of growth in our younger people. Agreed 100% there, DZ, that, I have a lot of hope in the Pels, and I think they're going to make a run for it this year. You know, and a lot of the bigger people in the NBA are starting to see what this team can be and what David Griffin has put together, you know, through that trade. That Anthony Davis trade is really, really being the one to pay off, right? Because without that, you don't get CJ McCollum because you don't have the trade. You don't have the assets to make that happen there. You know, you don't have Zion. You don't have the things you have to make that happen. And that just, you don't have the draft picks that we've gotten. You don't have the chance for a pick swap this year. You don't have another first round pick from in either next year's draft or the year's draft after that. So, I mean, not only are the Pels built to win now, they have the ability to draft to keep on winning, to build that team through the draft.
Yes, we haven't sold all our draft picks out.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
He's done a good job at making sure that you know, this team's going to be around and relevant for the next few years.
And look, maybe this will be some fuel for the Saints too. Like the Pels start off really hot, you know.
The Saints need to mimic this, and that's another thing I'm saying.
Well,
with
Kamara, I was reading earlier today, Kamara was talking about, look, we gotta get our rhythm together. We gotta get our
But it's week 7. We're going into week 8. We shouldn't be getting our rhythm together now.
Well,
that should have been in week 1.
We haven't had the starting offense on the same field together since week 1.
Well, whose fault is that? I mean, training staff. I mean,
you can't.
Whose fault? That's really. I want to know whose fault. Why are we, for 2 years in a row, one of the most consistent teams injured? You know, it's not like this is a – it's not like it's not an anomaly. It's not like it just happened this year. It's been happening for so long.
See, this is what I'm saying. It's the Saints.
We have no draft picks. We've traded them away with stupid trades with the Eagles to move up to get Trevor Penning, you know, and we moved Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to get nothing from them. You know, it's nuts that Mickey Loomis made these decisions with having made such great decisions in the past to keep us where we're at, that we made these moves and nothing has panned out or played out the way that we need them to at this moment. And it's just, it's mind-blowing how bad the Saints are doing right now. And it starts at the front office on down right now. I mean, maybe Dennis Allen isn't that guy. Maybe we thought he was because we wanted to keep that continuity. Maybe we need to blow that up.
I am going to just say Dennis Allen is – I don't think he can deal with the offensive side of things, and I think Pete Carmichael has to – one of them is going to have to go next year. Well, I don't see both of them still being on this team next year.
I mean, I see Pete Carmichael being the one to leave. I see them sticking with Dennis Allen for another season. He's the head coach.
Dennis Allen, he with all the work he's done for us on defense over the last few years, the guy has been one of the most consistent, one of the best. I think he's the best adjustment coach in the NFL. There's nobody better at adjusting to the second half than Dennis Allen on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh. Thane, I agree 100%.
That's right actually now. True. I think the defense is not living up to it.
Since Andy Dalton took over on the center, you know, for whatever reason, the offense has been one of the best in the league. They showed the graphic in the Cardinals game. I mean, I think we were like first in passing yards or something like that. Just some crazy number here that shows that this offense does have the ability to move the ball and do the things, but the defense is just not doing it. We're scoring like 30 points a game with Andy Dalton under the center, and we're giving up 35. We're right back to that in 2017, back when the NFC South was shit again. You know, we seem to have that rotation. We're back to being crap, and we're giving up more points than we can possibly score. So it's back to the defense being just that bad again. So, I mean, I don't remember the years, but, I mean, whatever. I might be too...
The Spagnuolo defense, like worst defense in the league. But we went from number 7 last year, and I think we're like 18th or 19th now.
Yeah,
that's a huge difference when you don't have that many changes in the coaching, in the defensive coaching side.
Maybe DA is trying to be too involved in the offense and not letting Pete Carmichael do the job that he should be doing.
I think it's a juggling problem for him. He's
not used to figuring that out yet. So,
but look, he deserves at least 2 seasons.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not saying get rid of him, but something has to give. Something has to change. You know, we have to figure it out. So, but that's for another show. That's not for right now.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what we got. We gave you our picks this year for this week. I'm sorry. Anything else?
So I actually want to take a minute and just say the SEC is back as the dominant force in college football. It's back. I'm sorry. When you have Kentucky, when you have Georgia and Tennessee undefeated, you've got Alabama at 7-1, whose only loss comes to Tennessee. You know, Ole Miss was having a good season. A couple of losses there.
Ole Miss, one loss.
Yeah. And then
LSU is one block six and extra two. Point away from being, yeah. You know.
6-1.
Yeah.
And then we have Alabama this week. So, look, Jaden Daniels for LSU and the young cat for Tennessee. Those guys are gonna be.
Well, do we have Jaden Daniels for another year after this?
Yes.
Okay.
If he comes back.
See, that's good. I think he should. I think I think he's going to be one that would benefit from
Hendon Hooker. That's it, Hendon Hooker with Tennessee.
Yeah, he would be another guy that would benefit from sticking around another season in college, because to me, he's kind of like that Jalen Hurts kind of guy. He's going to get out there.
Well, that's what Bobby Abel was talking about. Mike Dottillo, when they were comparing him to Jalen Hurts, yeah. And I think that's a fair comparison. The guy is a tough. He runs like a, and his passes look good. When he plants his feet, his passes are amazing.
And I think that's what he needs to work on more, is planning before he tries to throw. Because there's a lot of times he tries to throw on the run, and it sails, it goes bad, or whatever. But, Jaden Daniels is right up there to me, looking at him, is definitely with – no, he recruited hookers, just not the right ones. I'm sorry. He's right up there with Jalen Hurts, and I think he would benefit for another year in college.
PG, so Captain, PG.
I hope that LSU gets him for another year, because I think that would benefit that team overall. I think Brian Kelly, everybody gave him a hard time at the beginning of the year, which the way we started looking.
I did, too.
And I think in the overall, we're probably going to have two more losses this year, probably looking at one this week, maybe one. A&M might be that
if you play Alabama close and then beat Arkansas and A&M, you're still looking at a bowl. But if you beat Alabama, we are in control of the West. If we beat Alabama,
well, if they beat Alabama, they're on top of the West to be there, looking at a playoff spot. But I mean, You're talking about a big if here. I mean, Alabama's still that team. So, we just play them. That's all you can do, is you just have to play the game. You can't look ahead of it. And I think that's one thing that Brian Kelly is instilling in them. Like, whatever we did this week doesn't matter. We have to worry about what's going on this week. And I think he says that a lot in his pressers and everything else. So, I think that's
the king has made a prediction.
I think they're instilling that into the team, and they're going with it. So, hopefully LSU can pull one out and beat Alabama. That would be great to see. I would love it. That would be great. Almost like the Pels going 71-1. I mean, just one of those things you don't think you're going to see too much of. But, I'm good, Toots. You got anything left?
No, brother. I think we hit a little bit more than I thought we would hit this week. But
we almost got an hour out of this thing. I'm tired.
Well, look, I had a busy weekend. Knocking doors, doing other stuff.
Yeah.
It's been a wild few weeks for me. And gosh, November 8th can't get here soon enough. Oh God.
But all right, guys. Thane, thanks for joining us tonight, man. We appreciate the comments.
To everybody who did, we love you. Thank you as always for tuning in. If you didn't
like, share, subscribe, do the things. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. Send this to the Middle East so they can use it to torture people. Whatever. I mean, just
share it with somebody. I'm looking forward to that. Hell yeah!
Just share it with somebody. We got to get these views up. We got to get these views. We got to get it going. So, all right, guys, that's all we got. Deuces.